Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
upload of the archives, the amassed archives, which is probably a few hundred, 300, 500 photos and documents and stories and tic-tac and, you know, things that go on about the Glenbrook Historical Society. So I suppose before I go on too much, I'll just sort of say a majority of people go in and ultimately I find the people who talk about their reputation of doing things in the past, they're fantasists. They sort of want to sort of describe not what they can do, but some sort of proxy for being smart. They'll say, "Oh well, I was," and they all talk about the setting, the place, and people clapping me. I can't tell you how I'm smart, but gee, a lot of people clap me, and I was really successful. And here's my knowledge, and I'll have a look. Oh, I might get back to it. So, that's very much different from what I've come across, and it's so difficult to sort of explain what's going on. So, my general gist is, you've been cut loose and you've been chucked in the garbage heap. So if you feel sorry for yourself, you're fucked. So what you should do is volunteer for a few organisations, see what you can do. And now, one of the very surest things is that my charisma rating has sort of dropped to sort of negative a million, and so basically, and a couple of things, sort of the sort of relationships and things, sort of like the come with us for the life of the party. Oh no, you're groaning like some sort of bizarre corpse. You sort of get left alone. So what happened is that I just progressively join a few organisations and get into it and just try heavily not to completely destroy the organisation with new ideas or new concepts. So that was the RSL. Went into it and keeping it very low, and eventually they want to move forward, and I'm the weakest person who will still not say fuck off, I don't know anything about that. I'll say, I'm dumb enough to do that. So they with the RSL, they're pushing me to do things like write their Facebook page, and of course it's the most insane thing, because obviously I will research and try and do things that haven't been done before and just generally create havoc. Now, the similar sort of thing happened with the Glenbrook Historical Society. I turned up quietly, went in the corner, and essentially there's two people there who know anything about, who can even touch computers. Other people are against computers, the Historical Society. That's not how it happens. And the Dennis of the Historical Society said, "Oh, look, I worked on valve computers in the 1960s, so I know a little bit about switching on a computer and things that I've sort of gone through and started to assemble things. And we'll just have a general chat." And wound up giving me last week their the hard drive. And I sort of have sort of some, like, if you can imagine where you want a concrete block of knowledge, I've got sort of like some sort of spider web of knowledge, you know, sort of things that were blown away from the wind, but sort of enough to know how to upload things to a web page and the structure of things and what files will work and stuff like that. Now, the strange thing is that the story is not, it's sort of, it's like the reverse. It's sort of a nightmare of a fantasist who sort of says how great they are. I'm sort of the opposite, but my story is that I haven't worked out things from people telling me. I've actually gone there, felt stupid, tried a few things out, and worked out how to do it. Sort of like I've worked out all the way through. So, getting from this disc, I just knew that how to upload it. I had an uploading program, FTP, file transfer program. So you've got a file transfer program, and you've got the files on one side of the panel, and the entrance on the other. And if you put 20 gigabytes across at a fraction of a megabyte a second, it will take forever. So you can't do that. And the sort of safest thing to do is upload the whole caboodle, so it's all uploaded and no one can lay a finger on you. So you can't do that. So you have to, let's start doing a few things. One is go through and find duplicates. And of course, so you Google, there's nothing brilliant about it. You Google, how do you find duplicates? Because your vague memory has seen, occasionally you've been offered, do you want me to find and eliminate duplicates? And you go, no, because, if you're a really bad programmer, duplicate is because your software is being copied, and it's referring to the same piece of software in a directory root, so you haven't put your commands deep enough down. And this is quite reasonable, because you want to sort of prune a directory and put it and start planting it, sort of cross-cutting it and putting it across. So I knew that. So I did it. Now, the amazing thing is that the duplicate thing did find things out. So this entire thing is people. And the other thing, which is, besides not being a fantasist, I think I wouldn't classify people saying, oh, I worked for hours on my computers. It's not work sitting there in front of a screen waiting for something to do something is not working. Now of course, the horrible thing is that I don't wait. I sort of launch a few more other applications in the background until I eventually scramble the computer and it all locks up. Now fortunately, where I've got it structured is that it will lock up and destroy itself, but still leave the base file transfer stuff going. So essentially it knocked me out of my computer for a while. Still lost a amount of time, but this find duplicate thing, it is because one of the major things is to avoid yourself doing too much, so you're getting a lot of batch files. And so the find duplicate does work, but not only that, I had found things have been duplicated again and again and again and again. Various things that people really wanted were again and again, different times. And you had to be sure, and then you'd compress one version, and then you open it up again, and it's not compressed. What's going on? Because you found another duplicate of it. So that took a while to get through. Then compression. Now this is amazing stuff. I'm walking across this Glenbrook Gorge at the moment. There's the something called the Causeway, and the road's paved, but it hasn't changed since 1940s. There you go. Well, some of it hasn't changed. This actually, this causeway bit here has been in. There you go. To go and see it. So some of the place is nice here. There's that. And so the problem is that you think one of the things is, you know, if I could say to yourself, don't be deceived that if you've run the duplicate program once, I actually ran it twice. You know, that's what I always do, is I always, if I clean up the registry, I run it once, and it says, all done. Oh, well, run it again. Oh, it's picked up two or three other things until it picks up nothing. Okay, we'll keep on doing it. But, so the duplication is there. And then the actual compression. And so of this, the video files are just eye-wateringly huge. And so I've got a batch file thing. I think I spent a few dollars US getting this down to these software programs you get, and they look as though they're good, and then you say, whoa, yep, I'm spending a bit of time here. I wonder what's going to happen. It's looking all very good. I wonder what happens when I go out to try and save this, and I didn't do this for the video program. It's compressing it. But when it compresses it, the free version has a huge watermark on it, which renders it unusable. And you bloody got me there. But I think there's about three or four other things. And of course, the virus software. So you've got going out in terms of trying to pick up the free software and apply it. It's just so hard to actually do it. I'm actually going up the other side of Lombok Gorge at the moment. There's that. And so then there's the JPEG compressors. So you can set the compression such, because there's no point in basically putting up a file. Well, firstly, I put up the long files in the archive, but for looking at the files on the internet, there's no point in having anything over, I don't know, 50 kilobytes, which would give you a reasonably good screenful look. And it does a very great thing for you. If you put it up, it says make sure you've done a backup, because I'm going to replace all your files individually with shortened files. If you just put me in a directory and anything else, I'll leave the files which I can on the top level of the directory and re-put the compressed ones in a it turns out to be quite a good thing to be able to do when you want to make a thumbnail file. It's great. So I put it right up the top and it went through. And now one of the things I didn't know is that it only goes down so many levels before it stops compressing. And so and of course people's photographs are like sort of big, these are big 3 megabyte, 5 megabyte pictures, sometimes they're just of a rock, so it's a historic piece of dirt and a rock, and it's 5 megabytes. Yeah, it's, and of course if you've got 55 megabytes, that's you're on the way to a gig of pointless photographs. So fortunately I was able to get across there slowly improving. And so we're up to the next sections. Applying sort of general MBA strategic thought to this area. So the important thing is within a week I'm applying this, and it's clear that things are coming in new at a high level, and it's not the experience. It's not that experience is bad, it's just that people pack their experience with so much complacency and bullshit to go across. So we now have these compressed directories of images, and essentially you want to actually manufacture web displays. So it's not quite, at the moment you have a web site and it looks like your directory of your computer file, because that's what a website is. It looks like your internal directory of all the files. That's what a website is. And so the point is to actually generate picture galleries, interesting picture galleries. And so you've got your entire site there, and you want to have a file which will sit in a site and harvest the entire bloody contents of that site. And so there, you know, it's sort of getting on the, almost on the virtue of being the sort of element of being insane. And so I'm not, I can write a LabVIEW program which can take all the file names and construct a long HTML, or I can use a JavaScript array. But it's so bloody well close to it. Like I'm just, so at the moment I have to go in and rename all the files, image 1, image 2, image 3, image 2, so your JavaScript array elements, they do it by just having the word, then the number, which is element array number, and then a file stuff. So it's a real mishmash of file writing. Yeah, there's no way you'd get it unless you're out there doing it. And so at this stage I have to go in. But the end result is that you can go through a file directory, and then you have your basically, I suppose it's JavaScript, it's cascading style sheet, harvest your directory, and you know, it's still probably a step away from what I'm perhaps comfortable with. And so it takes that directory, and it then puts those files into an array, the URLs of those files into an array, and then paints that onto a gallery, thank bloody goodness. And then that same thing, you can, that same, your directory, you compress into your mass compression, you compress it into thumbnails, and you rename the compressed file thumbnails, and it's all sitting there, all written for you. And you have basically ancient Glenbrook Tinder, where you've got all these swipe left, swipe right, or these various people. And so within days we're up to that. And so I'm able to show them this, and within a very short amount of time I have the problem of this is really knocking the socks off me doing this. I'm going to turn around this sign here up the gorge, and it's just a thing that I'm going to have to really get on top. I've got this 4 kilograms to knock off before, like, I've been sitting 4 kilograms overweight for about 2 or 3 months now, and it's now time to get bloody serious. Body, you're on notice. And it's, I don't know, the freezing cold and rain, and I felt exhausted at the end of the day, and that's just from just mucking around on the computer and stuff like that. I just feel, like I'm stuffed, I have to go to bed. So it's just this huge effort to keep on pushing, and of course, walking doesn't do anything for you in terms of weight loss, does it? It's the exercise bike. I do have it tomorrow. Got this Olympic weight. Look, an Olympic weight. They train athletes, apparently. This is someone who... I think the tragedy I really find of people who talk about themselves and what they're doing is that they actually believe it themselves. And there's a lot of universe out there to look at. And... you know, you're not even looking outside yourself, you're looking inside yourself. And when you've got diplomacy to say, oh, look, you're troubled by that. Oh, you can't say, well, look, I can't really say that you've said this particularly wrong, because that would destroy everything you had to say, and it would mean that I'm obviously not taking it seriously, which I'm not, but I'm, I don't know. So there's that. Getting in. But let's get back to this. This is, I've got the Glenbrook Tinder file. And I found it sort of interesting in terms of when I got that out for such short time, that sort of the joy, someone said, oh, and this is something a bit spooky. Someone in my head said, oh, why don't you have Glenbrook Tinder? And my front panel, the front thing of me, said, no. Well, that would be good eventually. And then something in the back of the brain is going, oh, take this, do that, take that path. So when I'm not really paying attention, I go down this path, and there it is. And so I've got the Glenbrook Tinder stuff, and then we have the general thing of putting in the files. How do you structure the files? You know, with all these types of things that you can get automation, but with automation you need a computer plus skills. So things with a database will look great, because you can go, ideally, if you had a database of files, you don't have to actually get into, you could write into the database and then write a program to put the database into the metadata. And the bottom line is that when the metadata is with the picture, you're safe, and it's also exportable. I can sell it to a news company, newspaper, and the newspaper will take the file, and the metadata will all open up with the description on it. They don't have to, you know, it's the way to do it. So let's talk about a little metadata for a moment. So any file you get, any picture you send, unless you scrub it of metadata, will have an enormous amount of information about the camera, the setting, and panels, like 3 pages of separate fields, documents that you can fill in, including a description, a news item, copyright, author, all this type of stuff. You can write a little newspaper article on your picture, you know, embedded in the picture, and then that's sent off as an extra 5 bytes, you know, 5 kilobytes. You know, say it's a 50 thing. By the time you fill in all the data, metadata, and the metadata has got the potential to be incredibly rich, because if they can give you a field, you can write in it with your own tokens. So you can say, so you put in a field, and they don't know what you're putting in. That's just a text field, but in that text field you can put in token text, which can then be interpreted by an array, and so you can actually pack metadata within the metadata to go out, but it's your own readers, which which go out. And so here's the thing, you've got all the old guys, they, some of them actually, here you go, refuse to open a computer. So you know, what's the chance of them doing this? Pretty low at the start. So sort of looking around, trying to see is there a decent program which you can get the sitemap. And so poking around there, I go in and get Google to generate the sitemap, and it says I'll submit it to the search engine. And so I've submitted it to the search engine, so it should be searching through the, it'll be crawling through the little bejesus little thing once it gets that sort of like the sort of the sitemap is sort of like 10 minutes of Google going through finding. Now I didn't do that until I had actually restructured the site, but we'll get back onto that. So that's the sitemap, and this really, I still haven't found anything nice on there. So this is so you can sort of get a sort of tree diagram what's inside your site, but having it fairly logical. So we've got this file, and we want a system where people cannot go through as many screens as possible and put in commentary and dates and information down it, and then sort it and do all like that. And I think, well, Google Forms is pretty much the thing we want to do, but can Google Forms do an image? Because these people will see the file name and they don't know that clicking on the file name gives you the image. And even so, you still go deep down here, and there's these files with these huge images on it. It's enough to drive you insane. And so I sort of went off, oh, let's just open up Google Forms to go in. And I said, I don't know why Google Sheets. And of course, Google Sheet means that you can go to your web page, which has your directory listed on it, as long as you don't have index written on it, your web page, and you can click on it, copy the web page, just go and put your web page of, you know, your, this is the index of, Control or Control C, go over to your Google Sheets, press Control V, and you'll have an array where the second column on is all your file names, which are automatically hyperlinked to your to the web, and you can then go and I began to look at whether you could actually get the image displayed meaningfully, and the answer is no, you can't do it. There's two reasons why. There's a way where you say image equals URL, and they've got a code 1 to 4, two different, you know, ways of doing it. 4 is just your raw bejesus images, and how it does it. Now, the interesting thing is that it will not display, it will crop the image to the size of the field it's in, so it's, I don't know, it's a bit teeth breaking. So you can go through there, and then you can actually go in Google Docs, then make it editable by anyone with the link. That's done, so anyone can edit it now. So anyone who wants to edit the file can work on it. Then it's got the other thing is that it's got the edit revision history. So you, Joe Blogs and Dennis Blue and Fred Nile, so I can go in and they can have a tooth and say, don't worry mate, we can just go, we can roll back your editing to where it is and get everything sorted out. So everyone can edit it, and now it's published, and so you've got this basic file, and you can start to go through and have as many sort of lines as you want. And so this is You know, like metadata is with the file. It's sort of like stepping either side of the data. Databases are fantastic when they're set up and when they've got a business and when they've got people trained to do it and when there is a flow. But when you've got occasional people coming in, you want it very light. Light such that it's complex investment and what they do sticks to the image, or light when they come in and they can just see everything what they want to do, and then they can click through the different images as they go go through on it. So to put this here. Now there's sort of like this amazing thing. So Tinder is and of course what we want to do with the Glenbrook Tinder is you go through the photos. And once that you like, you swipe down, and it creates a little container of photographs with the information on it, so that later on you can actually construct your own story. Like you make it, say you might like the chicks from the 1880s and stuff like that. The Chicky Babes happens to be people's great grandmothers and all that type of stuff. You might like them all, and you might want the story of them all. You flick them all off from different pages in to your basket, and you've suddenly got all the women of Glenbrook, the great women of Glenbrook, and all butchers of Glenbrook. So the Glenbrook butchers. No, but, it's so sad. I feel really, really sad. There's so much history has disappeared with it all, and I think people really at the end of the day don't really care very much. So that's the other aspect of it. So I've got the Google spreadsheets, and essentially then a process where we have a system and a meeting where people who know the origins of some of the stories and the photographs sit there, and we just have a meeting and a powwow and actually go through these things. So this is the short-term processing for it. Now I just find it just tooth-breaking in terms of that. I just know what I would like to do is have rather than just file names named image 1, 2, 3, build an array of fill an array of image with the file names. I wish I could do that, but I can do that. That's sort of no problem. It's like I can sort of do that with my robotics. What do I do that from? I just trying to think where I have a file. So you can just write directory equals. It's just JavaScript where you say get directory and directory equals blah, and that. And you declare it as a array, directory array, and all just put it in that array. And for some reason, it's just a little bit hard. I'm just trying to work out. It's sort of just one step removed because it actually looks at the. It's got the array of it can step through. It's sort of like this bizarre thing where they've obviously got some sort of string which constructs with a number being added to it rather than just actually sucking off the array. So this is the ideal thing where it just sits in a, basically, ideally it would be lovely if you could actually PHP so it read the directory name and then from that directory name did everything else necessary for it. It's just so hard to get it to get it done. And then also when it's got the file, finally call up the file, then rips out the metadata and puts the comment on, so you can put the comment in with the metadata. So essentially that will be done, but that'll be a long way off. And so I suppose for me the interesting aspect is selling it without big noting yourself, because really that's not what I'm not going under cardiac rehab to swan around and there's really nothing in it for me. There's no benefit of swanning around. I really just have to keep on pushing myself. I really don't know whether this is actually really generating any benefit. I definitely don't feel I'm getting any smarter doing any of that. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. That's pretty much all I have to say. But to go over it again, this is essentially a process of getting the site up, removing duplicates, compression upon compression of JPEGs, conversion of everything into PDFs, assembling things together into a PDF, then OCR, and then compression of the PDF, and then so you've got this series of images which suddenly become as a single site. One of the things is to actually, I suppose, essentially, well, you've got to really question it. So eventually, and then compress the sites out, and then it took me a while to actually get native categories to it, and I had no major plan for it, and so I've just put everything in a tree of people, localities, events, activities, a shop, reference material. In the reference material, I have the books, media file, and the archive to get across. And again, that's not any sort of intelligence operating there. It's just sort of like microscopic solutions. And then the files, getting the Tinder prototype running, and then basically archiving of the information of it forward, and the archive is one step off from attaching the metadata, so I've pulled it up and get it across. So that's the overall thing, and then the learning to attach your mobile phone to a computer such that your computer's on Wi-Fi. So just get your mobile phone, a micro USB up the arse of any sort of Android, tether it, and then it's hooked to Wi-Fi. So bloody simple, I can't imagine it. So there's sort of a story for me in that What's happened is I'd have, I don't know, people bullying and undermining me. I wasn't going further forward. Now I don't have that. I do have the stroke, so I'm sort of making a different level of longer term progress. So what's happening is that I'm making longer, more steady progress, and people were so I'm still making progress in a place where I was frustrated, but not in not being able to do it, but not feeling frustrated. So I've seen that come forward. Okay, that's all I have to say on that one. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.